In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to please be seated. I have a painting I'm going to show you here. It's a painting by, it's a German pronunciation and I'm going to mess it up, but it's Matthias Grunewald. I think that's close. And it's titled The Crucifixion of Jesus. And obviously we have Jesus in the middle, having been crucified. To Christ's right here on this side, we have Mary Magdalene kneeling in humble adoration there. And swooning Mary is supported by the Apostle John holding her there. And then on the other side, Jesus' left, do you want to take a guess who that might be? His coat should be made of camel's hair. John the Baptist. Now, what do you think about that painting? Do you like it? Pretty good, right? Guy did a pretty good job. Do you remember John the Baptist being at Christ's crucifixion? Yeah. Did you notice that at first, though, when I told you who it was? Or is it just a painting? Why do you think he would be in that painting? There is a reason I'm going to tell you. Well, look who he's pointing to. He's pointing to Jesus. And the reason that Grunewald did that was because it was John the Baptist's job to point towards Jesus. And if he were to look into John's gospel, he actually wrote in Latin, the painter wrote in Latin, "He must increase, but I must decrease." You see, it's Grunewald's idea that even though John the Baptist wasn't there at the crucifixion, his job is to point to Christ, to prepare us and to get us ready, and to point out who Jesus is for the world. Pretty cool, right? Pretty neat. I like it a lot. I mean, yeah, it's historically not correct that he was there, at least according to the Gospels, but the idea of what John the Baptist's mission was, pointing out Jesus to all of us, makes sense in that painting. Now, John the Baptist, as we know, baptized in the River Jordan. This is a picture of the River Jordan. We are on the side right now of Israel, and across the water is Palestine. And if you look closely, I don't have my little pointer thing on the clicker. Where's the clicker? Ah, there we go. Remind me which button is the light again. Thank you. The top one with the green line on it. Oh, hey, fun. Right here. I'll get out of the way in case I'm in somebody's way. Right here In the water is a fence. And it's actually part way here, too, and it goes this whole length. And if you see, there's like some buoys right here that are floating. And on the other side, there are buoys also and a fence. If you were to look closely up into this tower, you would see soldiers with automatic rifles. And if you were standing over there, I put the light way over here on the ceiling, there's a tower on this side, on Israel's side, with soldiers with guns also. Now, why do you think that would be? Can't cross the line. You cannot cross through there. You can go into the water. You can go down these little steps. But yeah, you can't cross. You can't cross that line or you're going to get shot. And it's a weird experience to be there because of what it is. I mean, it's the River Jordan where Jesus was baptized and John baptized people. Thank you very much. So it seems really strange to me that something that is supposed to bring us all together can be so divisive. I wanted to show you that picture because, well, it's the River Jordan, but I want you to kind of keep that in mind for a moment. Well, actually, for more than a moment. But keep it in mind. You see, what's going on in our gospel lesson? You have the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they're really not happy about what's going on with John and baptizing. You see, in between the Old Testament and the New Testament is about 400 to 500 years. Now, for us, it's just a page, but it's 400 to 500 years of a time frame from the old into the new. And in that time, baptism was kind of becoming a thing. In the Old Testament, people weren't baptized, but in the New Testament, they are. To become a Jew, people would be baptized, and they had to establish a giving pattern to the church, in the Jewish church. And if you were a male, no matter what age you were, if you wanted to become a Jew, you had to be circumcised. But John wasn't doing that. John was just saying, no, you just have to repent, for the kingdom of God the kingdom of heaven has come near. And he says, this is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. He's going against it. He's out there preaching in the wilderness, telling them what you need to do. You don't need to look at him. You don't need to look at the Jewish church. You need to look to Jesus. Jesus is the way. He's pointing the way. Now, if you were going to walk from Jerusalem to the River Jordan, it'd be about a 20-mile walk. I don't know how long it would take you on a donkey if you were fortunate enough to have one, but obviously it was a pretty big deal for people to make that trek. It took about 7 to 8 hours of walking to get there to be baptized. And along the way, they would go through wilderness. And isn't it ironic, or not so much, that in this wilderness, that's where John is preaching. That's where John's reaching out to folks. And that's where he's baptizing people. I can only imagine what it must have been like for those people as they were approaching John to come and be baptized. Imagine the time that they had to think about what was about to happen to them in their baptism. Think about our lives for a moment. Now, I'm guessing most of you were baptized as infants or children. Is that fair to assume? For the most part? Well, in your lifetime, I guess you've probably experienced a few wilderness moments. Those times where you just don't have any place else to go, and things are just kind of raining down around you. You know, when life's hard and you just get confused, and we have television, radio, telephones, function, jobs, hobbies, busyness, illness, busyness, sickness, worry, busyness. All these things that distract us. See, wildernesses can be really good places to be. They can be really good places to be, even when we feel like we have no place to go. They're a good place to be because that's when God has our attention the most. just as John was teaching in the wilderness and preaching, getting people's attention, telling them, pointing them to Christ. So too is the same for us. I've heard of some folks who go on silent retreats, quiet time, sometimes for days, not talking to anyone, just so that they can have some time with God. Talk to anybody who hunts. They go out in nature. And yes, they're going out to hunt, but also a lot of folks will tell you that's where they see God a lot. If you've ever gone on a nature walk, out in those wildernesses, where all you can hear is the rustle of the trees' leaves, and maybe the creaking of the trees in the wind, your own footsteps along a path, those times when you can hear God's voice the most, when we let God in. In the season of waiting, the season of hurrying up and waiting, we find ourselves this second week of Advent right there in the wilderness with John, listening to his words as he points the way to us to focus on Christ. And he also says that it's not about him, really. One who is more powerful than I, says John, is coming after me, and I am not worthy to carry his sandals. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Boy, that's a thought. Now, fortunately, none of us have actually gone through a fire baptism. But what he's talking about here, what John's talking about, is the fire that cleanses everything. It purifies things. I'm going to talk to my blacksmith for just a minute. And he didn't know I was doing this. But if you get metal that has impurities in it, what does it do to the piece that you're making? It ruins it. It makes it weak, correct? Yes. But if you have something pure and clean, you can heat it up and make it into amazing things, correct? Correct. So, thank you. So, that's what this is talking about, making things pure, cleansing it. Jesus does that. And guess what? As I've said before, that Holy Spirit that Jesus and John was baptized, or that John baptized with, and that Jesus was baptized with, and that we were baptized with, is that same Holy Spirit that lives in all of us, equipping us each day for generations to come. And the reason I like this picture so much is the thing is, with the Holy Spirit, you can't stop it. It goes where it wants to go, just like the water in that River Jordan. That fence doesn't stop it from flowing back and forth and around as people mix and mingle inside of there. And I got to tell you, in that day, there were people off just to this side, down the steps, that were being baptized. And there were people on the other side. You can see them under that little portico thing. They were playing in the water too. And there was a man on the side of Palestine that had his little baby, and they were as close to the edge that they could get, and he baptized that baby there. God's Holy Spirit can't be contained by that. Can't be contained by fences and things. Busyness, if you will, of the human condition. Pretty amazing stuff. Pretty amazing stuff, this John the Baptizer. And even though he dresses a little goofy from what we would expect, for him, the way he dressed and how he lived and what he ate was a pretty humble life. And it wasn't about putting on airs. It was about doing the mission that he was called to do. And that's pointing the way to Jesus, that same mission that we are called to do as well. Pretty cool stuff. It's pretty cool stuff as we hurry up and wait to have ourselves reminded and to remind others to look to Jesus, to celebrate the love that he has for us, and to celebrate that we too join in all the baptisms of all the Christians because of God's love and God's Holy Spirit that holds us together. Amen.